Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. Holiday happiness might seem easy, but that's not always the reality. Many can struggle finding the joy expected during the holiday season. While receiving gifts can be great, true happiness during this time of year is often found in giving to others. In this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Joe Irizarry sits down with University of Delaware Lerner College of Business and Economics Assistant Professor of Marketing Amit Kumar to discuss strategies for finding happiness during the holidays.
The holidays, as the song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and it's a time that should bring happiness and joy, but for many it doesn't. Why is that?
I think sometimes just the nature of the holidays can make us forget about what we're celebrating in the first place, which is other people. Other people are a huge source of our happiness, and I think it's helpful for folks to kind of remember how best they can connect with others during the holiday season.
Now, you suggest there are a few keys to holiday happiness. What are those keys?
So one has to do with sort of, what are the types of gifts we're giving to each other? What are we doing with other people? And emphasis on the word doing there. So some of our research finds that people tend to derive more satisfaction from what are called experiential purchases. So these would be, meals out, tickets to performances, outdoor activities and recreation, than they do from material purchases like clothing and jewelry and furniture and other types of material goods that people might buy as gifts. And so if we're seeking connection with others, if we're trying to promote happiness and well-being, gifts that are more experiential in nature, money that's kind of focused on doing rather than having, tends to be a wiser investment from a psychological perspective.
Sticking with that, what's the best way to go about a gift buying strategy when you shift it? Because as you said, it more experiences can be better, but it would have to be something that everybody's involved with. Like if I'm a big sports fan and you're not, and I'm giving you tickets to a football game or a basketball game or a hockey game, you may not enjoy that. I mean, you also have to also know what is going to be best for everybody involved in the party, so to speak.
Certainly, it's helpful to take people's interests into account, but I would suspect that introducing people to new experiences that they haven't encountered before might actually be beneficial as well. And so I think this gets at sort of, what are some of the reasons for why this tends to be true? And one of the underlying reasons has to do with the fact that experiences kind of make for better story material than material items do. So we're more likely to talk about the football or hockey game that we went to than a piece of a jewelry or a shirt that we got. And so it turns out that those social interactions are actually really important for people's happiness. And so the more that we can kind of provide fodder for people's conversations, the more likely we are to enhance their well-being.
What are some of the other keys that you suggest that people could follow to, be happier for the holidays?
I think one thing that's quite important is kind of remembering sort of the importance of gratitude. Obviously, Thanksgiving has come and gone, but that doesn't mean we need to stop thinking about all that we're grateful for as other holidays approach. It turns out that when we express gratitude to other people, that makes us feel really positive as well. So it enhances our own happiness. But beyond that, I think the nature of this interaction is that we actually enhance other people's happiness as well. And in fact, our scientific studies suggest that we tend to do so more than we expect. That is, we think that we're doing something relatively inconsequential when we're expressing our appreciation to someone else. But it turns out that it's much more positive, much more meaningful for them than we anticipate.
Sticking with gratitude, obviously, I mean, it focuses on the giving aspect because a lot of times for the holiday, sometimes people get maybe too involved in the receiving, right? And what we're going to get, what are we going to get? And this kind of gets you in a right frame of mind. But also, when you express gratitude, but also, is that also could be involved like checking in, maybe providing companionship to someone going through a hard time, maybe suffering a loss? Because that's when, for people in the holidays, that's when it really can build up on them.
Well, I think these results speak to things that we can do kind of throughout the year, but we might be especially likely to do at this particular time. Our research does suggest that what we've been discussing about gratitude is kind of broadly true about pro-social actions more generally, or other-oriented sort of, you know, warm acts that we could do for other people. Part of the sort of mistaken beliefs that people have lead to them kind of undervaluing this kind of pro-sociality, and that can keep them from engaging in behavior that would maximize both their own well-being and the well-being of others. That is, we sort of systematically underestimate or undervalue the benefits of this kind of positive social engagement. And so these are things that we could be doing a bit more often, and we likely would feel a bit better if we did them more often.
And there's a third key, right, for holiday happiness. And what is that? And can you just explain for our listeners out there how they can do better? Because I think this one might hit home for everybody here.
Yeah. So I think one thing, so broadly, I think one thing to keep in mind is that we actually want to be, you know, talking to other people rather than just kind of typing to them, sending text messages or emails or things like that, communicating through social media. It turns out that when we use our voices, we end up feeling stronger bonds with other people. Tying all of these kind of lessons together, you know, humans are really a fundamentally social species. We have a fundamental need to belong. We know that positive connections with others are really essential to our happiness. They're important for our health as well. And so thinking about what we can do to kind of enhance those connections is likely to be really important for people's well-being.
And breaking that one down to type less and talk more to people, forget just the holidays, but that's something that maybe we can look at year-round, right?
Yeah, I mean, the studies that we conducted were not conducted during the holidays specifically. I think it's important to kind of keep these lessons in mind throughout the year. And so one of the concerns that people sometimes have is that it might be, you know, awkward or uncomfortable to, you know, pick up the phone and call someone. But again, it turns out that these expectations are somewhat misguided. We're kind of miscalibrated. We think it's going to be weird or uncomfortable. But in reality, it's actually not once we're actually talking to someone else. And so, again, these are things that we might hesitate to do. Maybe we're a bit more likely to do during this time of year. And I think when we actually try it, when we, you know, get on the phone and talk to somebody, for instance, that's what helps us realize that, oh, that actually felt pretty good. And so maybe we should be doing these things a bit more often.
And even with that one, you would also include FaceTime, right? I mean, you're still using a phone and that, but it's still that communication, that it's not typing. So that would work, right?
Yeah. In our research, we actually kind of directly compare sort of text-based interaction to audio-only interaction, like a phone call, to audio-visual interaction. So FaceTimes or, you know, video chats or Zoom calls. It turns out that the, you know, connecting with someone over a video chat is certainly better than text-based communication, than communicating with, you know, our fingers alone. But it's really the voice that ends up being important. And so both audio-based and audio-visual communication tend to enhance our connections with others more than text alone.
Now, it appears that all of these keys can be linked together. I mean, is that is there a common theme here with all of them?
Yeah, you know, as somebody that studies happiness scientifically, people sometimes ask, like, you know, what's the secret to happiness? And I think it isn't much of a secret at all. It's really other people. Positive social relationships with others are what matter for our well-being. When I tell people that, you know, that's what the data suggests, and it's important to know what the data actually have to say on this. But when you tell people that, they're not super surprised or anything like that. I think what's a bit more surprising is how often we don't actually engage in these behaviors that would actually, you know, make us better off. And so I think keeping that in mind and actually trying to incorporate these lessons into our daily lives is likely to make people feel at least a little bit better.
What would you say to somebody that might be skeptical about any of this, especially maybe that last one, where, you know, typing less and talk more? Maybe they're not an outgoing person. They don't like to talk to people. They feel more comfortable texting people or emailing people, what would you say to them on how to break that shell?
You know, I think it's important to try it. And so, you know, that's what we do in our experiments. We actually, you know, we get people's beliefs. And so they think that it might be uncomfortable or that it might not be as positive as it actually is. But when we actually, you know, in experiments have people do this, it turns out to be better than they expect when they communicate using their voices. And so if you think about how we learn, you know, anything, and this is a pretty broad statement, it's basically through, you know, experience and through feedback. And so when you try it, that's when you have the opportunity to learn how it actually feels. If you're, you know, worried about it, if you're hesitant and you say, I'll just send the text or I'll just send the email instead of talking to somebody, you'll never have the opportunity. You'll never have the chance to know what it would have been like if you had talked to them instead. And so if you give it a shot, the research suggests that you're likely to end up feeling a bit better than you expected, more connected to someone else.
Thanks to UD Lerner College of Business and Economics Assistant Professor Amit Kumar and our Joey Rosari for enlightening us this week.